message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Can I see your Bible? Just wave it. Just rejoice. Can you just rejoice from your inside that you have this book? That you have this book. Can you rejoice from your inside? I don't know about you, but when life beats me, when issues beats me, and I open this book, peace returns, joy returns, hope returns. And I know that certain parts of our world right now, they are not permitted to carry this publicly. Can we just appreciate God? Can we just appreciate God? Father, we thank you for Bibles, and that we can hold it and read it and carry it in public. We are grateful. Praise the Lord. Open with me to Deuteronomy 23. I'll be reading from verse 21, New King James Version, and then Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 to 5, the New Living Translation. Glory to God. Those two will do for now. Deuteronomy 23, I'll be reading from verse 21. Ecclesiastes 5, I'll be reading from verse 4. Praise the Lord. Before we go into the world today, let me say a few things, a few things. God led our pastor to direct us to this series for you. Not for the person sitting next to you, not for your wife, not for your husband, but for you. So I need you to open your heart to hear for you. Don't hear for your husband. Don't hear for your wife. Hear for yourselves. I need you to know that concerning this covenanting, God is going to ask us one-on-one what you did with your own portion of the instructions. Not your wife on your behalf, not your husband on your behalf. I pray that our young sisters who are still trusting God to marry, the ones that are single, the ones that are dating, are also listening with their inner ears and their hearts. Because God is already speaking and answering some questions by the authority in the name of Jesus. I also want to add that this series is not designed to provoke guilt. It is not designed to provoke guilt. Anytime there is guilt, that is not our own God. Anytime there is guilt, that is the enemy. Remorse, yes. Remorse that leads to repentance, yes, that is our God. But guilt, that is not our God. That is not our God. And so what this series will do is to challenge you to a place of repentance, but not guilt. Tell your neighbor, not guilt. And then I want husband and wives to know that your wife is not your enemy. And your husband is not your enemy. The real enemy is the enemy. You are a tag team. Fix your house and tag team against that enemy. And get him out of your house. In Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 23 from verse 21. When you make a vow, when you make a solemn promise to the Lord your God. How is it to the Lord your God? Last week we clearly saw from scriptures that when a man of God stands there and say, by the powers vested in me by the church, I pronounce you husband and wife. That it was not the man, it was God. Because God says, I am the one that joined you and your spouse. So when a man makes a vow to the Lord, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you. So when you make a promise, God will come back and require the fulfillment of those promises from you. Verse 22. But if you abstain from vowing, listen carefully. If you abstain from vowing, it shall not be seen to you. That which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed. Pastors don't force people to vow. Parents don't force people to vow. When you vow, it was you vowing voluntarily. It was you promising your spouse voluntarily. So God will require it out of your hands. Ecclesiastes 5:4. The New Living Translation, the English is simple. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. Verse 5. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Let's say that again. It is better to say nothing than make a promise and not keep it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you take this word and teach all of us. For some of us, it will be warnings. It will be corrections. For some of us, it will be repentance. It will be a change of heart to begin afresh and do something new in line with your word. Wherever we are this morning, we receive grace to please you. In Jesus' name. Today, we are continuing with our series on marriage and the family. And we are calling it now, Intentional Marriage and Family. Intentional Marriage and Family. It's not just a marriage and family now. It's intentional. It's intentional. Glory to God. And it is still the covenant. We are continuing with the covenant. Last week, we said that the marriage between a husband and a wife is a covenant, not a contract. And we went through the qualities of a covenant, how it makes them one and how it is permanent and all the other things, not a contract. The marriage between a husband and a wife is a covenant. And we said in entering that covenant, vows are made. The covenant is the relationship, but in entering the relationship, promises are made, vows are made. And we began to go through those vows one by one. So today we are continuing the discussion, explaining what those vows, those phrases, those statements mean. So we know them, take them to heart. If you have departed from it, you repent and go back to it. And then for those of us who are looking forward to marriage, to know what it means before we get into marriage. So today we are continuing, and today we are entering, I will love, I will respect. It's part of the marriage covenant vows. What does that mean? I will love, I will respect. You already know the meaning of love. The first love here is agape love. It's the God kind of love. The sacrificial kind of love. The selfless kind of love. So when you stand there on that day and say, I will love you and I will respect you. What are you saying? I will sacrifice for you. I will love you like Christ loves the church. And if he gets to it, I will suffer because of my love for you. The agape love is the first love here. But because it's a unique relationship between husband and wife, unlike the other relationships, the relationship between friends, the relationship between colleagues, this one encompasses all the types of love. So in the marriage love, you have the eros, the romantic love. God wants it in a marriage. After the agape, the erotic, passionate love comes inside. Inside there too, you have the philia kind of love, the friendship and equality kind of love. And then you have the storge kind of love, the family love, the love that proceeds from both of you to your children and the generations yet unborn. So the marriage is a place where this love, the totality of love, that's the only place it's permitted. In the other relationships, only the agape and filial is promoted. But in this one, you have all, including the eros, the romantic love. So God wants romance in your marriage. Here, husband and wife, God wants romance in your marriage. Turn to your wife and tell her, God wants romance in our marriage. Not the book of Romans. I say romance. Before you tell her, go and read romance. That's not what I said. God wants romance. Praise the Lord. And then this love also is not the love that we have known before. It's not the love I saw her and my heart started beating. That is not it. This love is patience. It's 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 love. It's a love that is patient. It's a love that is kind. It's a love that keeps no record of wrongs. It's a love that believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. That is the love. It's the real love. This love is not a love of feeling only, it's a love of commitment, even when the feeling is not there. Somebody say amen. So I will love, I will respect. What is respect? To respect means to regard the other person, to regard their feelings, to admire their person, the qualities that they stand for. So when you say, I will love and respect you, don't lie. If you know you don't respect them, don't come there and say it. Because what it means is that I admire you. I regard you. I put value on you. And when you say that, it comes out of your mouth, God holds you to it. God holds you to it. I like the quality that I see in you. It's something that I admire. And then I regard your feeling, which means I take responsibility to study how you feel so that I can dwell with you, not to hurt your feelings all the time. Do you understand that? And it's done on purpose. I will love and I will respect. I admire you. And so when you admire people and you regard them, you are proud of them. You should be proud of them. Some husbands can't take their wife to the public place. And when they eventually pop in the public place, they run to the front so that the wife can be in the back. They can't hold their wife's hand in the public place. And some wives will never allow their husbands come to their office. They are not proud of the man. They don't admire the man. And all of that God wants us to change. Your wife should be admired. Your husband should be admired. You should be proud of your spouse. Somebody say, I hear. You should be proud of your spouse. The next one is, I will protect and I will support. I will protect. When you follow the normal marriage vows, it looks like the protection is given to the man and the support is given to the woman in the marriage vow. But the truth is that it is vice versa. It is from both ways. But the man more to protect. What does it mean to protect? To keep from harm. And so on that day you stand there, you are looking at that beautiful woman. You are saying, as long as I live, I will keep you from harm. Sometimes when I'm going downstairs to go and check the door, my wife doesn't know the meaning. We're already falling asleep, and then I say, I need to go and check the doors. I'm keeping this place. I'm trying to keep her and the children away from harm to the best of my ability. When I'm changing her tires, not to be bald-headed, what am I doing? I'm consciously trying to make sure that I'm keeping her from harm. You say, I want to keep you from harm. I'm committed. So you cannot turn around and become the one that harms her. Or turn around and become the one that harms him. Listen carefully. In case I don't have enough time to balance, I'm talking to both husband and wives. It's both ways. I will keep my husband from harm. I will keep my wife from harm. So it is anti-covenant to turn around now and become the one harming them. Or tag teaming with outsiders to harm them. Or allowing anything to harm them. I will protect. Keep her from harm. Keep her from injury. Anything at all. You are saying, God, as you give me the grace, not under my watch, harm will not come to them. Harm will not come to them. And you know your wife. You know your husband. You know your wife. You know your husband. Protect them. Protect them. Protect them. You know that your husband has the tendency to divert when he is on social media. Caution him. You know your wife has the tendency to harm herself and the entire family when she has ATM cards. Caution her. We're coming home. It's practical. It's practical. I will protect you from harm and injury. I will support. I will support. I will support means I will help you bear the weight of life. I will help you bear the weight of life. You've been carrying it alone. Now that we are married, I will help you carry it. And that also means I will not add to it. I will help you carry your burdens. I'll help you carry your load. I'll help you carry anything that is a weight to you. Whatever it is that is a weight, I will help you carry it and I will not add to it. This is my commitment to you. And so if there is a burden on your husband for school fees and the wife has money, bring it out and support him in carrying the weight of school fees. That money is for the family. That money is for the family. That money, for the first time, men are clapping. For the first time. But whether you clap or not, we are going to say the truth. Bring it out for your family. Help your husband. It's family money. I want you to know that there is no sincere man that is happy that the wife is the one bringing money. No sincere man. No sincere Christian man. Let me stay there. It's already a weight on him that he doesn't have enough. The pride of every man is to make sure that their wife doesn't lack. And so when issues of life brings them to that place, it's a weight. Help them carry it. Help them carry it. Help them carry it. I'll help you bear the weight. Help your wife carry the weight. I'm telling you, women are strong. Women are strong. Women are super strong. No wonder God chose them to carry the babies. Men would have dropped the baby and run away. Go and do abortion unconsciously and then pretend that they didn't know anything about it. Women are strong, but don't overburden them. Help them carry the weight. Some houses, you need house helps. Your wife is dying. Help her carry the weight. From school runs to kitchen to this to that. Help her carry the weight. God brought us together to help each other bear the weight. I will support and I will protect. It means to help carry the weight. Forsaking all others. It's the all there that is the focus. Forsaking all. To forsake is a very strong term. It actually means to abandon. Abandon family. Abandon friends. Abandon neighbors. Abandon childhood friends. And focus on your spouse. What does it mean? It means to take the priority of your destiny away from others and place it with your wife. With your wife. And I want to ask our parents to please help our children face their marriages. There's a lot of parental interference in today's marriages. You have married, let your children marry. Advise them, counsel them, but don't be in their face 24/7. Don't. Guide them. Teach them. Encourage them. But don't go and take over their homes. Don't. It's not godly. It's not godly. God says forsaking. You need to help them forsake. Some of them are so attached and afraid of offending. Did you get it? They are afraid of offending you, so they don't even know how to forsake. You help them. Help them. It's part of our teaching our children. Forsaking all others. That also means my heart is exclusively yours, not for anybody. There is God in my heart. Outside of God, nobody else is in my heart. Not your children above your husband. Not your children above your wife. Listen carefully. Both of you were there before children came. And in the Lord's name, you will be there when they are gone to their own homes. Don't use them to replace the other person. They are a blessing. Don't use them to separate. When Jesus said, let no man separate, he's talking about everybody. Glory to God. Forsaking all others. For men, business partners. Business partners. If you are not careful, they become more important than everybody. Don't. No business partner is as important as your wife. No. No business partner is as important as your husband. And no business. I was meeting with a family last year. And this woman was willing to let go of the marriage for her business. Was willing. I said, are you telling me in English language that you will pick this business over your husband? He said, yes. Korokoro, leaders carrying Bible, praying in tongues in church. We came to church the next day, they were in church praying. I said, do you know what you are saying? You've been married for how many years with children? You will pick this business over your husband? She said, yes. She didn't send somebody to me. She told me. Forsaking all others. And then after you forsake, you cleave. We are not saying forsake and then hang to your phone. No. Forsake all and then cleave. To cleave there means to glue. Aradite. Which one is the strongest glue in Nigeria? Aradite. You glue together to where if there is any trial of separating, it tears. And that is the violence of marriage that God is talking about. It will tear. You glue to where you become inseparably one. Forsaking all others, but not to forsake and be alone, but to glue to your husband, glue to your wife. Glue to where the space in between is too tiny for anything to penetrate. As long as you shall live. This gluing is permanent gluing. Glued together. The next one is very interesting. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. To have and to hold, the original meaning first is that from now, forever, you are legally mine. You are my possession. To have and to hold, you are my possession forever. You belong to me, I belong to you. That's what you are telling yourself. You belong to me, I belong to you. Then it also means that I will be intimately involved with you. And I look forward to be intimately involved with you emotionally, physically, and all around. To have and to hold. You are legally mine. You are my possession. I look forward to be intimately connected to you, to be emotionally connected to you. That is what you are saying. And as you are saying it, God is there endorsing, approving, and releasing grace. I hope we are checking where we are in our marriages and asking God to help us to have and to hold. From this day forward, what does that mean? It means today I cross a threshold in my life. Today I leave behind an old life of singlehood. I'm entering a new life. From this day forward means something new is starting in my life today. And God is the one orchestrating it. And he has promised me his grace. From this day forward. The forward there doesn't have an end. From this day forward, 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 forward. Except the grave intervenes. Forward. Forward. From this day forward. From this day we are taking each other up and forward. We are not dragging each other backwards. We are going forward. We are going north, not south. From this day, I'm going to make you better and take you forward. From this day, I'm going to make you better and take you forward financially. From this day, I'm going to take you forward and make you better emotionally. I will not drag you backward. From this day forward, we are going forward. And then here comes the next set of super important vows. The next three are always put together. This next three stresses the seriousness of the covenant commitment. This next three, it stresses it. It also acknowledges the fact that life is full of ups and downs. Acknowledges the fact that no matter how anointed you are, no matter how prayerful you are, no matter how much you exercise, no matter how much you have put in the bank before the day of wedding, life can be up and can be down. Life can sometimes decide to go south and sometimes decide to go north. This is the part that acknowledges that part. And I normally will tell them in our wedding, something tells me that if heaven was not listening, now the secretary is at alert. And then you begin to hear something like this, for better, for worse. What? For better, for worse. You are acknowledging that I'm taking you as you are today. You look beautiful. You look slim. No pot belly. No bald hair. The hair is full. Everything looks good. You walk here straight. Everything looks good. But if tomorrow you need to use a walking stick, if tomorrow the hair becomes bald, you came here today, we woke up from Hilton to come to church. But if tomorrow we have to go back to the backside of Suleja, for better, for worse. You came here walking strong like a man. But if tomorrow you begin to for better, for worse. I visited the family in this church last year. I left there with too much joy. We've been trusting God that this our brother will see, but he's still not seeing. But you need to see the wife, the kind of love this woman is pouring on this man. And so I went there to check and discovered that the love has not changed. And the man is not seeing yet, but you could see the love for better, for worse. When you are rich, for better, for worse. When you are lekpa, for better, for worse. When you become a robber, for better, for worse. When we live in Maitama, for better, for worse. If we need to park to Suleja, for better, for worse. When we had two cars, for better, for worse. If we no longer have cars and we need to take Keke Napep to church, for better, for worse. For better, for worse. We're in this together. We will weather the storm together. It doesn't matter what comes against us. It is for better, for worse. For better, for worse. As if that is not enough. For richer or poorer. And richer here is not just about money. Rich in patience. And then now he's short-fused. You stay. Now let me say something before I forget. These three most important covenant vows put together is not a lock-up shop. It does not lock you into a marriage. Abusive marriage and lock you down. Then somebody will use it to be beating your head. Then you can't go out. No, when the marriage becomes abusive, it's no longer marriage. It's no longer a covenant marriage. And we will get there. When the marriage shifts from what God says, it's no longer a covenant marriage. So don't let anybody use for better, for worse. And sit there while they're beating you until they kill you. No. And when we say beating, all the people are thinking is the man is beating the wife. Women are beating their husbands. Pastor, in our church, am I online? In our church, a woman beat the husband. The man fell. The woman came on his face, pulled her pants, and peed on the man's face. Family worship center. And so when we come here and we're talking, don't think we are siding the men. The enemy is making both wicked. The Bible didn't say the heart of man, as in male man, is the heart of both male and female that is wicked. For richer or poorer, learn to laugh at lack. Learn to laugh at lack as you use God's word to come out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't stay there. Let's move on. Don't stay there. It's just to tell some men, some women too, that some of the women of excellence people too are causing havoc. In sickness and in health. Sickness and in health. We were here. How Pastor Seraph fought to the very end. How we fought to the very end. We have seen spouses who disappear when the other one is not feeling well. When your wife or your husband is not feeling well, that is when they need your love more. Because you don't know what the enemy is telling them. Stay. 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 One time my wife had malaria. There is no malaria drop we didn't use. And then I was supposed to go abroad. We kept treating. It was not working. The date of my trip was coming. Up until I was supposed to travel tomorrow, she was still in Limi. I canceled the trip, carried my own mattress, and put in front of her mattress in Limi. Until then, he said, Pastor, we are here. Go home. I said, go home. Now my wife, they're here. I'm not going anywhere. I do it on purpose. I do it on purpose. When she's not well, that is her most vulnerable state. I must be there. And if we are truly one, if she's not well, then I'm not well. Yes. Carry your bag and jack. There's nobody that will be there that she will feel secure like you. She sees the man on the floor. Fear don't go. Fear don't go. Glory to God. So those three, very powerful. It's an acknowledgement that life has ups and downs. But in the ups and downs, I love you. I'm committed to you. And we'll pull through together. However, it is not a key. It is not a padlock. Locking you there to be abused, intimidated, and manipulated. No. 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 God wants you to enjoy your marriage, not to endure your marriage. And when one person is no longer living by the covenant, that marriage is no longer there. Come, let's talk about it. We will not have an osinachi in this church. In the name of Jesus. And then I don't know the name of men that their husband, their wife kills. We will not have men that wife kills in this church. Glory to God. And then it follows to love and to cherish. To love and to cherish comes back again. You see, to cherish is like taking love to another level. This one is to spoil them. I will spoil you. I will spoil you, my husband. I will spoil you, my wife. And both of you are competing in spoiling each other. To cherish also means I will build you up. I will build you up like an edifice. It is my responsibility to build you up. I will look out for the weaknesses and build you up. You came to me with a certificate from secondary school. I will build you up. You have a master's to PhD. You came to me, you can't speak English. I will build you up. I will love and I'll cherish. Because you have married me, you are not permitted to remain the same way. You are coming better to love. And to say, according to God's holy law, I pledge. No, I jumped. Till death do us part. This one is you now. You are acknowledging the permanence. The permanence. You are acknowledging the permanence of marriage. Because you saw what God said. The two shall be one flesh. And let no one put asunder. So you are saying, till death do us part. What you are saying is that, all these vows I have made, when I said that I'll love and cherish you, when I said in sickness and in health, when I said for richer or poorer, I mean them, and I'm not going to change my mind until death comes, not circumstances. I'm committed to this for life. And then he said, according to God's holy law. According to God's holy law means I'm going to do this thing according to the Bible principles that began in Genesis when the marriage institution was given birth to. I will look out for all the principles and I will abide by it. Every ordinance of God concerning according to God's holy law. And I will regard the marriage bed as holy all the days of my life. God's holy law. My marriage is sacred. My marriage is holy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God Almighty. And then the other things that embellishes it. With this ring, I wed you. I said, not the only mouth I make. Oh. I want to use a token to seal what we have agreed. And then you take the ring in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you put, that ring is a token. And you are saying, as I give you this ring, even if I'm not there, wherever you are, remember that somebody is in a covenant love relationship with you that is permanent. Remember, you need anything, dial my number. Glory to God. Don't forget, wear it. And they have told us now that the reason we wear it here is that the nerve that connects to the heart flows through here. I have not proven that, but that is what they told us. So it's connected to your heart. You are by my heart. You are in my heart. You are special. With this ring, I wed you. And then you say, henceforth, I yield my body to you. That is a very powerful promise. Henceforth, I yield my body to you. Listen carefully. People use this to manipulate. From the day you got married and you say, henceforth, I yield my body to you, the body, the physical body of the wife now comes under the authority of the husband. And then the physical body of the husband now comes under the authority of the wife. You co-own both bodies. And so in that body, we have sexual relationships. And therefore, nobody in the covenant is permitted to use sex to punish or to negotiate. You are not allowed to starve the other one because it's not your body. You can't starve your husband of sex. You can't starve your wife of sex. You can't use it to negotiate things. You can't. Until you do this, you won't have it. Make I see. You can't. It is anti-covenant. You are a fraud. You are a scam. And God is not happy with it. No. Keep that part. The Bible says you owe them, you owe your spouse due benevolence and due affection. That is what God says. In fact, it's so serious that God says, no matter what is happening, I can see some people rejoicing here now. No matter what is happening, even when you are fasting and praying, when it gets to it, stop the fast. Settle the matter, then continue the fast. Don't deny. Headache every day. Okay, before I go on, and Pastor is the one that has the grace for this, and she's coming up one of these days. Wives, listen. Sex is not a want for the man. Sex is a need. For the man, sex is a need. It's not a want. It's a need. No man, the way a man is wired, can perform continuously well without proper sex. And the place approved for that is the covenant of marriage. And so when you are doing that, you are punishing God's creation. God is not happy. Also, some men are doing it to their wives. When we say this thing, people are thinking, the world has changed. Both sexes are just rebellion. Both sexes. We have heard of men who have not touched their wife for 6 years. Or in family worship center, not outside. I don't go anywhere. This is where I am. Tell her I don't feel like. It's wickedness. It's anti-covenant. Henceforth, I yield my body to you. Take it. Take care of my body. Love my body and nurture it. Don't abuse it. Did we get that? It's not for abuse. It's not for abuse. All my worldly goods with you, I share. There's a lot of fraud here too. All my worldly goods with you, I share. That means everything I have owned till this morning or evening, whatever time you are doing the wedding, and everything I will own after today. Most men after marriage will start owning more because of he who finds a wife. Most men will start becoming rich after marriage. Don't hide it. It's fraud. It's fraud against the covenant. All my worldly goods with you I share. Everything you had before the marriage and everything you have in the marriage is for both of you. Bring it to the table. Talk about it. Talk about it. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. The reason some people hide this thing is because of lack of trust and the way you have handled some other things before. And so if you are responsible for them hiding it, don't just beat them. Repent of your behavior. The last time ATM entered your hand, boy. So they are afraid to give you ATM now. The last time they told you that 1 million just arrived, in 5 minutes, you see that man I was owing in my office, the way the man harassed me today, you want to collect everything. And so the next time money comes, they don't want to tell you. So it's in our attitude. God is asking both husband and wives to change. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is too much. You are calling the Trinity to come and witness. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, And the Holy Spirit are saying, come, be our witness. Everything I have said, I will stand by it. Praise the Lord. And so these are the vows that we make in entering the covenant of marriage. They are solemn promises. You think you are making them to just your husband. No, you are making them to God. And God is watching. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. Pray for yourself. You are single, pray for yourself. You are a husband, pray for yourself. You are a wife, pray for yourself. Father, thank you for your word to me. Your word is truth. I will adjust to your truth. Your word is truth. I will adjust to your truth. My heart is flexible. I am not offended at your word. I will adjust to your word. I receive grace to do your word. Change my marriage for good. Let my marriage mirror you, mirror the church. Let my marriage mirror the church. Let my marriage mirror the church. Let my marriage show the church who you are. Let my marriage show the world who you are. Let my marriage become a mirror of the church to the world. How Jesus loves the church. Let my marriage become evangelistic. Let people become saved just because of my marriage. Father, everything I have said, everything I have done in my marriage that has brought us to where we are, let your blood wash it away. Have mercy on me, Lord. I want to please you. I want to please you. I want to make a personal commitment to God. I want to please you in my marriage. No. It's not about my husband. It's not about my wife. I personally want to please you. I want to please you. I want to do my own part. I want you to see me on that day and say, Wilson, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to please you. I want to do my part. In bad times, in good times, I want to love. I want to stay in the covenant and be faithful to my vows. I receive grace. I receive grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, help us. Help us as we change. Encourage us with positive responses. Father, tonight, this morning I ask that you move over every aisle where a heart is hurting. A heart has become callous and hard. Make it flesh again. Make it flesh again. Breathe upon every marriage represented here. Breathe upon everyone represented here. Father, some people are going through the pain of divorce. Take away that pain. Take away that pain. Heal their hearts. Heal their hearts. Take away guilt, Lord. Take away guilt. Remorsefulness, yes. Repentance, yes. But not guilt. Not guilt. Father, be upon our marriages in Family Worship Center. From Lagos to Maiduguri. From Sokoto to Benue. All our churches, all our members, the body of Christ, breathe upon our marriages. Let it indeed reflect the relationship between Jesus and the church. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are still praying. You are here and you don't have Jesus in your life. We're still talking about covenant. The most important, the most powerful covenant is the covenant you enter with Jesus, accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior so that he can heal your own personal life and help you. God wants you happy. Listen carefully. God wants you happy. God wants you successful. God wants you laughing. God wants you victorious. God wants you on top, not under. On top of life, not under life. God brought you to Abuja to bless you and to make you an instrument of praise, not an instrument of laughter. God doesn't want shame for you. God wants you out of shame, rejoicing and strong. Somebody says, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to pray with you. Can I see your hand? I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Can I see your hand? Anybody like that? So I want a relationship with Jesus. Anybody? Please lift it boldly. Lift your hands boldly. Lift your hand boldly. Glory to God. Somebody say, I want to move forward. I need the grace of God to move forward. I need the grace of God to move forward. I am stagnant. It looks like anytime I start something, it doesn't end well. I start, it looks like I'm going to make it. Then something happens. I need the force of heaven. Is there anybody here like that this morning? I will pray with you. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. You say, I need the force of heaven to back me up. Thank you. Thank you. Be bold about it. Be bold about it. We all need the force of heaven. Be bold about it. And finally, somebody said, the situations around me, they are hopeless. There is no hopeless situation with God. With God, all things are possible. He is the way maker. Maybe you are in a place that looks, that seems like there is no way. He will make a way for you. If you are that person, let me pray with you. Let me see your hand. And everybody whose hand was up, stand. Let me pray with you. Stand bold. Be bold about it. You are in the house of God. It's the house of your Father. Be bold about it. Be bold about it. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. Now take your Bible, take your bag. Do one more bold thing. One more bold thing. Just come to the altar here. Let me pray with you. Just come to the altar here. Let me pray with you. Now somebody said, Pastor, everything you said, the issues I'm facing, I didn't hear one of it. I just need prayers. Come. It's a place of prayer too. I just need prayers. Come. You just need prayers. Come.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.